7:06 right here on AM 600 KOGO, San Diego's news and talk station, The Jack Rice Show, and another edition of Reader Radio. But this one's a special one for me. This one's a special one for me because one of the things that I love more than almost anything else is the chance to look into the lives of other people, and people that I don't necessarily understand that well. It's not a judgment question. It's just simply that I don't understand it. It's a different perspective on how somebody would live, the decisions that they make, and why they make them. And it allows me to sort of dig in. That's what's going to be so cool about this edition for me, because what we're going to look at are gangs and why people do it, why people dig in from a young age, too. And it's about how you get there and why you would make decisions that normally you would imagine that people wouldn't want to make. And so that's also part of this. But it's not just a question of crime, because that's maybe the simplistic way of looking at this. From my perspective, there are social aspects about this. There are familial aspects about this. There's a whole series of things that go on that are sort of normal from the perspective of somebody who's on the inside of it versus somebody like me on the outside of it. And what's cool tonight, as Barbarella joins me in studio, is that she's starting with sort of a historical look at gangs right here in town. So, Barbarella, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jack, and I'm happy that you're excited about this topic. Something we don't think about here in San Diego, but it is prevalent. It exists, and normal is relevant. I like that you say this might not necessarily be normal, or it's normal for some people. It's a relevant term. What is normal?
What's also interesting about tonight's program, too, is that you also bring a book that I guess a mentor of yours wrote about really the history of this essentially approach in San Diego. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, Judith Moore, may she rest in peace, was a senior editor at The Reader, and she was my mentor and editor. And she wrote 10 years ago these stories and delved. This consumed her for 10 years of her life. The character of a mobster, his name was Frank Bompensiero, and he was a San Diego mob guy. He was a hitman, and she wanted to know every detail of his life and examined it down to his favorite pasta and wanted to know everything about him and displayed him as, like with The Sopranos, a character was based on him, actually, that he was a normal family man, and the job, the gang, the mob, so to speak, was work. You know, he'd go out and hit somebody off that he was ordered to and then come home at the end of the day and have his plate of pasta with his family and his kids. And that was he was a normal guy, and that was normal for them.
You see, that's the non sequitur that I'm talking about.
Right.
I mean this. When you think about somebody who does something that you would imagine is the wrong thing, a bad thing, right? And so when you hear about that, you want to believe when you see them, well, clearly I can tell that that person does bad things. They commit crimes. They do things that I would consider to be wrong. And so therefore, I'm looking for the horns. I'm looking for the tail. I'm assuming that I'm going
to
see that.
We want to believe that. But yeah, and what Judith wanted to discover is that just like all the issues that you discuss every day, there really is no black or white. There are so many factors going into everything that could make you identify with somebody. I mean, I actually personally have never seen The Sopranos, but I have a lot of friends and family members who love those characters. Here are these characters who are committing crime every day, killing people, things that are not only illegal, but according to our moral compasses, wrong, and yet we're identifying with them as characters. And that's what Judith did with this character that she studied for so many years, and that's in this book called A Bad, Bad Boy. Even there, she's almost endearing him. You know, he's not an evil man. He's a bad, bad boy, as if she's admonishing him for turning down the wrong path, but he's still genuinely a good, normal guy.
Well, let's move from the past mm-hmm. to the present. I know that the cover article, the main article of this week's Reader, which comes out tomorrow morning, was written by a man named Victor Rice, and let's bring Victor on with us. I'm very, very excited.
Of course,
about this.
And I want Victor to talk to us. He's excited too.
Victor, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
I look at your life, and I'm trying to understand sort of how you get from being a child and being like all children, doing things, you know, playing in the yard and playing in the neighborhood, just like all of the kids do, to actually getting involved in the Bloods. But let's start young. Can we do that? Tell me about your childhood. What made you sort of gravitate?
What neighborhood?
Yeah, and tell me, you're from here in San Diego, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
So you're a local boy for us.
Local.
Okay. What part of town, if you can tell us?
When I grew up in Paradise Hills from maybe like 1 to 4 years old. But then we moved to Emerald Hills, and I used to go to the Boys Club that's in Cantle area, but it's considered Skyline, and that's where I grew up.
So you grew up in Emerald Hills Skyline area, right?
I mean, well, Emerald Hills, you know, it's a lot of old folks out here, so it's not too much to do. It's not a lot of people to play with, so they put me in the Boys and Girls Club right from transferring from Lee Elementary in Paradise Hills. Before I even left Lee, they put me in the Boys Club. So when we made the transfer over here to move to Emerald Hills, I was already going to do the things that I needed to be doing, like just going to the Boys Club like I was going to do when I moved to this area. So it was mostly Encanto, Skyline. I mean, that's where I was raised.
So you're this little boy, and you're living in this area. How is it that you got involved with gangs? I mean, from that age, when was the first sort of connection? I'm not talking about when you joined, but I mean, when did you start realizing that there were gangs in San Diego and gangs in the area where you were growing up?
It was Pop Warner football.
Wait a second.
Pop Warner football. How old were you then?
Okay, yeah. How old are you? You're in Pop Warner football at this point.
I was in the sixth grade, so I had to be like 12 or 11.
Okay, so you're a 12-year-old little boy living here in San Diego, and you're in Pop Warner football thinking you're getting involved with sports. Those are good things. I'm thinking, okay, you're going down the right track, and then you somehow come in contact with gangs. How? Explain that.
I mean, it's a funny thing, but what I realized when I was going to the Pop Warner practices and all these things, people already chose sides, and I didn't know what was going on like that because I moved just fresh from Lee Elementary to where it was nothing like that, you know?
When you say they chose sides, Victor, do you mean like family members and friends? Like, did you have older family members and friends who were involved with one side?
I'm the only one in my family born in San Diego. I just noticed how my friends would not connect with the dudes I was playing football with.
Ah.
It was a totally different thing, just like that. I mean,
Hold on. Again and again, we're talking with Victor Rice about this affiliation that he has ultimately with the Bloods. But growing up here in San Diego, you start noticing the gangs with Pop Warner football. You're this 12-year-old little boy, and you find out, and you say that they go down different paths. Are you suggesting that you're seeing gangs at that point, or are you just seeing sort of social groups, like just buddies who are hanging out? Or was it something else?
It starts out as social groups, because when you're young, you really don't recognize what's the bigger picture. Why are you hanging around these people, and who's connected with other folks? And it ended up turning into something else where I recognized that the people I was playing football with weren't really friends with the people I hung out with at the Boys and Girls Club in Skyline area. And that's when it really hit me.
What was the distinction? What was different?
I mean, actually, it was really upfront. Like, I seen guys get jumped in, you know?
Now, here's an interesting thing. So getting jumped in... Getting jumped in, when you say you saw them get jumped in, they're jumped in like beaten up to be a part of the gang, and how old were you?
Before you get further, what does jumped in mean?
Jumped in means, you know, you're trying to join the gang, and, you know, and the older guys or whoever it is around that's from the gang you're trying to join, they jump you in, you got to fight. You got to hold your own.
So wait a second. So in order to join a gang, you're 12, and you're seeing guys trying to join gangs, and that means they have to fight to prove that they're tough enough to be in the gang?
Yeah, most likely. And this is, 12 years before I even really knew about gangs like that. You know, it was that young. We had to run laps for it as kids of the team. We had to run laps for it because they was fighting, but people didn't know what was really going on. But we had to run laps, and we had to take punishment for what these guys were partaking in.
What year was this?
12. I'm 24 now. Graduated 2003. So if I was in the sixth grade, it had to be like...
Math's not my thing.
So this is early 90s.
Yeah, like early 90s.
Okay, so this is...
like 96.
Okay, so this is like mid-90s. Now, you're seeing 12-year-olds at this point starting to try to join gangs here in San Diego.
Oh yeah, it's not rare. I mean,
what? Are you serious? You got to understand. I mean, I apologize for being so ignorant here, Victor, but I'm trying to get this. How young are you seeing kids looking at joining gangs, looking at jumping in, looking at fighting in order to show
what's
that
the
they're
youngest?
Tough?
What's the youngest you've seen?
The youngest I've seen. I mean, I know of people that have like and have dope put in their diapers. So if you want to go as young as that, then that's how young you go. But I really don't hang around too many people, so I don't know the age now. But I know friends who tell me stories about, like, you know, my mom used to put dope in my diapers. And it's serious like that in San Diego.
Victor, I want you to stay with us, and I sure appreciate this. I know you wrote the cover article for this week's Reader magazine, which comes out tomorrow morning, and we're talking about your life. I appreciate you spending so much time with us as we work our way through what this means. But this is something that really does impact San Diego, and I think your talking about it from the inside out is something that I have never heard before. So I want you to stay with me so we can talk more about this. And again, Barbarella, this is great. I'm loving this one. So stay with us right here on The Jack Rice Show. You can pick up this edition of The Reader. It comes out tomorrow morning on San Diego's News and Talk Station, AM 600 KOGO. ...723 on AM 600 KOGO, San Diego's News and Talk Station. The Reader comes out tomorrow morning, which means Barbarella's in studio with me again tonight. Gotta love that. Let's get back to Victor Rice again, growing up right here in San Diego, getting involved in gangs, and really, he wrote the cover article on this coming out tomorrow morning. You definitely want to pick this up. I swear, I really will be reading this one myself. Again, Victor, thank you so much for staying with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Let me ask you again about jumping in, about getting involved in gangs. How old were you when you joined a gang?
Well, it happened around... After the fifth grade, obviously, when I went to middle school, and the really, because I went with my friends, and I chose to do that because of what happened when I was going to, when I was playing Pop Warner. And, I mean, not saying anything about Pop Warner. Pop Warner football is a great thing in San Diego. Not saying anything about that, but that kind of prompted me, and it let me know where I needed to go based on who my friends were, who I really hung out with. So
you were 12.
Yeah, 12, 13, I think like 13 or something like that, going to middle school, seventh grade, yeah.
And were you jumped in? Did you have to fight? And how many people, if that's the case, how many different people did you have to fight at once?
I mean, you know, I did things, you know, when I was younger. And, it happened. You know, that's how it was, you know, and then it happens. And that's, you know, that's about it. People get jumped in.
Well, Victor, when you look back at being a 12-year-old, Did you get jumped in? Did you join the gang for whatever reason? Did you do this for the social reasons because these are your buddies? Did you do this because you got some benefit out of it? I mean, why did you do it?
I mean, it's a lot of reasons why you might join a gang. And then people on the outside might think, okay, just because...
No, hold on, Victor. I'm not talking about down the road. I'm talking about when you're 12. At 12 years old, why do you join a gang?
And it's a social thing. You're right. You said that when you was asking me this question. It is a social thing because a lot of your buddies are from San Diego. Look, I'm the only one in San Diego for my whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a lot of other people to talk to, not no older cousins. And a lot of people that grew up in gangs and a lot of people who are in gangs, older cats when I was younger, these guys are generally good dudes.
They like your family. They looked out for you?
Yeah, they'll tell you your uncle, things your uncle will tell you if you stayed, if you stayed around your uncles, go to school, do things like, it's good guys like that out there who are in gangs. And
Victor, again, at 12 years old, you join a gang, and you say you do it for the social reasons on the front end, but tell me, at that age, 12, 13 years old, what's the benefit? What are you getting from this gang at that age? I'm not talking later, I'm talking then.
You really don't know. I mean, it's really a social thing, and you take it as a fly-by-night thing. It's just, you have fun with your buddies, you go out to the skating ring, was popping back then, you go to the skating ring, and you'll have fun, and maybe you get into a fight, maybe you won't, but it's more of the social thing, and just being the limelight type thing, but that's not what makes you join the gang. It's not the limelight, it's really the camaraderie that you have with your buddies, because usually when you start joining gangs, it's fuss with your friends, you know?
Did it change, Victor, over time? If it started out as a social thing where you guys are just hanging, are you getting in trouble at this point? Are you doing anything illegal at this point? I mean, at what point does it start to shift from that 12, 13-year-old boy who starts?
When I was in Keeler, you know, I got kicked out. I was smoking pot and stuff like that. I got kicked out. And that was kind of like a turning point in my life.
How old were you then?
I was thinking I was like 14.
Wait a second. You get kicked out of what?
I got kicked out of Keeler.
Is that the school?
The school, yeah.
Oh, I see. So you got kicked out of school at 14 and you didn't go into another one? You stayed out of school?
No, I didn't stay out of school. I go to it was like a halfway school type thing.
Kind of like a homeschooling sort of thing?
No, it wasn't homeschool. It was called ALBA, actually.
Okay, so I think I'm familiar with these schools.
Learning behavior or something like that.
So you make this decision. Now, Victor, you know, we're not even close to done with your life. And I understand we were only going to stay with us to about the bottom of the hour. Do you think you could stay with us longer?
I can stay with you as long as you want me on here, man.
I'll tell you what. I want you to stay with me because when we come back, what I want to talk about is sort of this transition. You know, when you start out as this 13-year-old boy who starts out as friends, and then all of a sudden you get kicked out of this one school at 14 for smoking pot, then you said things change. I want to talk about how those things change. But now you're 24, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about all that. I mean, once you get involved in a gang, even a gang right here in San Diego, what does it mean? How does it work? We'll talk about police. We're going to talk about a lot of things. So Victor, stay with us. By the way, again, this is another segment of Reader Radio. The Reader comes out tomorrow morning, and the focus of this edition is on gangs, but not just any gangs. It's gangs right here in San Diego. It's written by Victor himself. So he's going to take you on the inside of this. It's not written by some academic, and it's not written by a cop. It's written by a gang member himself. This is very important because he's affiliated with the Bloods. And by the way, it's not that he was with the Bloods, because this is important too. Once you're with the Bloods, you're always with the Bloods. He's still affiliated with the Bloods. So this conversation we're having is one you're not going to get anyplace else. Make sure you stay with us as we talk about it. Barbarella is with me in studio. We're looking at stuff you don't find anywhere. The Reader comes out tomorrow morning. Make sure you pick up a copy. Stay with us right here on The Jack Rice Show. Victor will stay with us to the top of the hour on San Diego's News and Talk Station. This is AM 600 KOGO. You're listening to AM 600 KOGO. This is San Diego's News and Talk Station, The Jack Rice Show, 735. Great to have you with us. Again, we're going to do an extended edition of Reader Radio, and we're doing this because of one person, and that's our guest tonight. That's Victor Rice, again, affiliated with the Bloods still, because the fact is very clear. Once you're in, you're always in. He wrote the cover story for this week's Reader. You can pick it up tomorrow morning. And again, Barbarella, thank you so much for staying in. I realize you didn't know this was going to happen either, but when I saw that this was the guy, I thought, I've got to continue with this. Victor, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah, this is really great of you. So let's go back. You're 14 years old. You get kicked out of the school because you're smoking pot. You're already in a gang at this point.
Actually, what happened was I was kicked out of school before we was play fighting, and that's like slap boxing. And a principal, you know, said that I wouldn't be kicked out of school, and then you have to go to the board. And she actually reneged on her on a promise to me and my mother and my family. And then that was a real big change. It really affected my family because I'm not a bad dude. And a lot of gang members aren't bad dudes. A lot of people have families. It's not like you gangbang because you need it. You know what I'm saying?
Did it feel like, for whatever reason, because they changed their mind, that you had no other alternative, or what happened?
I mean, it wasn't no alternative. It just was, I was already stuck. It was just what I was doing. You know what I'm saying?
So, well, wait a second then. You're 14 years old at this point, so you're already stuck. You're out now. And you're now going to this alternative school, and you're here in San Diego, and you're in this gang. It started out as social, but now things seem to be changing, in my mind anyway. What changes at this point? How does this relationship with these other people change for you?
Well, actually, I went to an ABBA over there in Lincoln Park. And if you read, when you read my story, you'll know the history between Scotland and Lincoln Park. But It was cool. I graduated. I got back in school. And that's not when the problems really started, but that's when really I noticed that what was going on in the world. I mean, I have never been to no funerals by that time, and none of my friends or anything like that. But
when did it change then?
It changed in high school. It got serious in high school.
And how? What was the moment that made it change?
Do it this way if you can, Victor. I mean, there's going to be a time, if you can, think back. Think back to your high school days. And do you remember sort of a defining moment? There's one time where you realized this isn't what I thought it was. This is something else. I don't know how old you were, but do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It wasn't even at school. It was like kind of on the boys' club area. We got shot at. I don't know who they were shooting at, but we had got shot at.
And wait a second. You got shot at? How old are you at this point?
Maybe like 15.
Okay, so you're 15 years old, and you guys get shot at. What do you do?
You run.
Were any of your friends shot? When you were shot at, was anybody hit?
Not at that time, no.
No, was it a car, like a drive-by, or were there people standing out there just kind of shooting openly?
It was somebody in the car, yeah.
What did you do in response as you realized that you were shot at?
I mean, we were 15 years old. We didn't do anything. We didn't even know what happened. I mean, we was running.
So what comes next? Now, all of a sudden, you realize this is not just fun and games. You realize that you're not just having some social club. Now you're getting shot at. You're 15 years old. You're in high school. What happens?
Social club. I mean, because you hear about stories around you. Okay, you guys got shot at and things like that.
So you weren't naive. You knew what it was by 15, you're saying.
You don't plan to get into things like that. Nobody would try to plan to get something like that. So it was like, okay, if you just, stay cool and do your regular routine, then you're all right. You know what I mean? You go home, go to school, you go hang out with the homies at the park or whatever, and then everything should be cool. But things happen.
Now, at this point, you're in a gang. What's the name of the gang? Can you tell us?
It's in the story. If you read the story, you figure it out.
Okay, we'll keep it at that then. As this develops, now you're 15, 16 years old, what do you do with your gang now? What sorts of activities do you guys get involved in at this point?
I mean, what people do, what young kids do. You go out, you fight, and you get into things.
But at this point, no, is there any crime involved?
I mean, fighting is a crime. This is school is a crime. We used to do that at school, and we used to fight with the rival dudes. We used to go,
Right, because earlier, Victor, we were talking about sort of like the, old-time gangs back in the day, like early mafia, and they're usually involved in some sort of other, fighting is illegal, yes, but there were also, whether it's stealing or drug-related, was there anything like that, if not you directly, but maybe the people around in the same gang were affiliated with?
I mean, when we was younger, we weren't selling no drugs, sure. We was piecing up on trying to buy dime bag weed, stuff like that, but we weren't selling no drugs.
When did you start having contact with the police, Victor?
I haven't actually. I think it was my DUI I had when I was 19 years old, and that's the only deal I've really seen.
So for you, I mean, this is actually, it hasn't been bad, but you have seen others that you hung out with, the homies that you used to hang with, as you described.
I haven't been documented or anything like that, but that's the choice I made. I got a lot of friends that are smart, just like do the same thing anybody else can do. And then what it is about it is people don't know enough about what's going on in San Diego.
Right. You'd said earlier, and I just want to make a clarification here, that you'd said you can belong to a gang but not be a gang banger. Is that what you mean by the choices you make, that you were kind of involved in this and affiliated with people who are part of the gang, and some of them are gang bangers, which means involved in illegal activity, and the other ones are just involved in a gang? Can you tell us a little bit more about that clarification?
Yeah, you can be a gang banger and be in gang activity and be doing illegal things, but you can also be a person that's not active, is what they call it. Is what we call it, actually. And it's a person that's, just trying to live their life. And that is, goes like in jail. If you're trying to live your program, which I have never been, but I have friends that say, if you're trying to do your program and people that you are around that love you, they know you're trying to do your program and get out of jail so you can move on with your life. But there's some people that's not with that. So it's usually the people from the other side that's not with that. So when you got friends from a gang and you're trying to live cool and you're not trying to do nothing that, you know, you're not trying to out there and try to rob people or whatever that's illegal, you're trying to just live your life straight, then your family would know that, your people, your homies and your family, and everybody would know that. But the other gang wouldn't know, and that's why you can never get out of the gang.
Victor, should people be afraid of gangs here in town?
Actually, I don't think so. I think they should be aware of things that you shouldn't do. It's like L.A. I mean,
Hold on, don't go further, because you say people should be aware of things they shouldn't do. What is it that people shouldn't do?
Be naive.
Does that, in what sense? Does that mean not going to certain places or what?
Just do your homework. Because when I go out of town, I got family, all my family's out of town. I'm the only one from San Diego. When I go out there, I do homework. I ask them, like, okay, so what can I do? You know, what's going on? And it's with every other city across the world. Every city. It's not just San Diego. You know, Orlando. I mean, it's all kind of other places that this same thing goes on.
You mean, when you say do your homework, do you mean by know who's wearing what colors? I mean, because like you say, but don't be naive, which means if I go to a certain neighborhood and if I'm wearing a blue bandana, that could be potentially being naive, because though I'm living by the word of the law, I still might get shot at. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to say that, but you might have some hassle. I mean, it ain't the Wild West out here like that, but stuff goes down. At major places people go to all the time.
So you're saying even when somebody's not asking for it, that's the naivete, is that you may not be involved in doing criminal activity, but if you do something unknowingly dumb without doing your homework, you might be suspect.
Like I said, in my story, and which comes out tomorrow, downtown San Diego, it's something else. To live and work in San Diego and then be in downtown San Diego, it's something else. And people really don't know about it.
Then, Victor, tell me this. You tell me that you do your homework. But let's imagine that I'm me, and I have no idea where to go to find out what I'm supposed to do, where I'm not supposed to go, what colors I may not be supposed to wear, and I have no idea where to go. How do I find out these things?
It should be more coverage on things that's on inner cities and downtown, because the things happen a lot.
Oh, you mean like in the news? There should be more coverage because there aren't articles written up about this stuff?
Not even articles, news coverage of one thing can last like 3 seconds. I know it's a lot of money to do these things, but it's a lot of things that are not covered, and people don't know. A lot of people, like, it's more for San Diego to know, like, there's things out here, man, that people can stand up for.
Such as?
And such as, like, starting more programs. It's not like it used to be when I was growing up. I talk to my mom about this all the time. The boys club was like the best thing. We used to go to all the other boys clubs, just hang out and swim and all this stuff. And it's not that going on. It's not too many community things for everybody to come to. And it's not the problem. It's just people don't know about it because it's not publicized. It's not on TV.
So if they knew of the problem that exists, the problem being people getting involved in gangs, they might be more likely to do community activity programs?
I mean, that would help. I mean, just people knowing about it. I can't say what will solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if people knew more about the situation, the police know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, so if the police know and there's nothing happening, then people need to know and try to help kids, because these are just young kids like me.
Victor Rice is with us. He wrote the cover article for this week's Reader. It comes out tomorrow morning, and we sort of extended this because we're sort of getting a look at gangs, and he's affiliated with the Bloods still, although he's not gang banging, so he's not involved in any of the criminal activity. Now, Victor, looking back at your life, you're 24 years old. You've seen so much that many people don't understand. Do you have any regrets? Do you wish that this had played out differently for you?
I really know. This made me who I am. My friends, the people I've met through my life, I'm the only one in my family born in San Diego, in California. The last name Rice. Not besides you, Jack, but.
I don't think we're related, although you never know. It's possible, right?
It is possible. But everything I've learned, I got friends, man, that I love to this day. But you do messed up stuff. You do things, you got to pay for it. But I still keep in touch with all my friends, most of them.
So you feel like, Victor, then, that your relationship with the Bloods, this has been good in your life. This has made you the man that you are.
It's not been good. I mean, everything doesn't go good in your life, but it makes you who you are going through that.
And what I'm hearing is that it's not necessarily good or bad, but you like who you are now, and this is a part of you, and therefore you don't regret it.
I don't regret none of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I can understand that.
Victor, you know what? Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us this evening. It took a lot longer than you probably expected.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
But you really were able to explain things that I personally have never really been able to understand, so thank you very much.
Thank you for just giving me the opportunity to be on here, and hopefully, you know, just to get out to other people and just let people know in San Diego that there's another side to it, and then people need to know about it, that live in San Diego, for most. Because people don't know.
Right. Victor, well, I hope your story helps out with that, too. Victor.
Absolutely. Again, Victor Rice, again, he's affiliated still with the Bloods. He wrote the cover article in this week's Reader. It comes out tomorrow morning. Make sure you pick up a copy. You know what, Barbarella, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Jack. Thanks for being interested.
It's a very, very different look at San Diego. I think frequently people have a vision of what America's finest city is. And the thing is it may just be one little piece of this city. I grew up here, too. I was born in Escondido, right? So I grew up in North County. I graduated from Poway High School.
Was there no gang activity in North County?
Yeah, well, of course there was. But the thing is, it's like anything else. If you know of it and if you're around it, you may see it. If you're not around it, you don't see it.
I went to Bonita Vista High School, and we had 2 deaths in my senior year from drive-by shootings in the suburbs of Bonita.
We'll see.
And that's supposedly a high-end, a highbrow sort of neighborhood. And
it's a perfect example.
Everywhere.
It's this broader look, so make sure you stay with us. This is the Jack Rice Show on San Diego's News and Talk Station. You're listening to AM 600 KOGO. AM 655, this is AM 600 KOGO, San Diego's News and Talk Station. It's amazing when you listen to this gang member and you listen to him. Again, if we look at where he is now and his experience, Victor Rice, and he writes about this in Reader, so you can pick up the Reader magazine tomorrow morning. But as he described this, it sounded like a social club, didn't it? It sounded like a boys' club, just a couple of guys hanging together, which we sort of understand in a sense, but you have to realize he's affiliated with the Bloods. I mean, realize what this means and how this works. I think what's important about this is that it's a lot more complicated than simply saying it's a bunch of guys getting together to commit crimes. And it really is. And if you talk about what it is that he learned, and it sounds like, you know, you have uncles, you have people who are telling you how to live your life and the things that he has learned because of that. I mean, as you listen to the last part of that interview, and by the way, if you missed any of this later on, you can certainly go to kogo.com and you can download the podcast of this. But if you listen to it, you realize that in his mind, there's good that came out of this, and maybe there is. I mean, normally we think about gangs and sort of the way it works, not in this sense, do we? I mean, don't think about it like this. And yet, I can think of the other side of conversations about gangs, where I was talking to the captain in charge of all of the gang task force of Los Angeles as they were dealing with the Crips and dealing with the Bloods. And I'm taking you back, you know, 15 plus years now and talking about how this works. And in some cases up there, where the problem that the police were having is that when they came face to face with some of these people, they weren't armed at the level that the gangs were. They didn't have the capability that the gangs had. And in fact, in some ways, the gangs had better strategy and better tactics, because some of these guys, when they're 18 years old, they ended up joining the army. And so they learn how to actually fight. They know how to lay down lines of fire. They understand tactics. And then they come out of the army, they roll back into the gang, and they have the affiliation. And all of a sudden, they're training everybody below them. And then they have weaponry that even the police department doesn't have, or the San Diego, or the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office doesn't have. And that same reality is something that we're seeing here in San Diego. I mean, these are the realities that we face. And so if we think about San Diego, I mean, it's interesting to me, when you think about San Diego, you have visions of what our city is. And those visions are true in a lot of ways. So I don't care whether you're down on Market Street and you're looking down by the baseball stadium, or you're down on the harbor, or I can take you up to Moonlight Beach, or I can take you into Escondido, or I can take you to El Cajon. I mean, all of those are visions that are true, but they're all squished together side by side. So the realities of San Diego include yours, but realize the realities of San Diego include Victor Rice's too. Because those parts are as much San Diego as yours. And that is America's finest city. It's strange when you think of it like that, but that really is true, isn't it? I'm going to actually read this. I mean, this is one of the ones I'm trying to understand. I mean it. I want to actually see how this works from the inside out. So I appreciate you being with me tonight for this special edition, because when I'm looking at this, San Diego brings a lot to the table. My family is historically from this city. That's where my family's from. Being part Native American, we grew up, our entire reservation is in North San Diego County, hundreds and hundreds of years. This is my town. So the more I get to see this town, even this piece, I want a piece. I want to see this. Make sure you stay with us. I'll be back tomorrow night looking at the big stories of the day and how they impact you right here in America's finest city. San Diego's News and Talk Station, AM 600 KOGO.